Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, planet Earth. It is April the 28th, 2021. It's right around 5:21 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. Here in the great state of Utah, separated by mountains and rivers and oceans, guarded by the great salamander that lives in the Salt Lake. Yes, indeed. And if you're listening on shortwave radio, if you are listening on shortwave radio, then you may be listening to WRMI out of Miami, Okeechobee. And the frequency is 5950 kilohertz, and it might be Saturday night, it might be Sunday night, it might be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or 3 a.m. UTC if you're living according to the Queensland Navy. According to the Queensland Navy, all time is measured by the toad in Greenwich. There is a toad in Greenwich. It has 4 million neurons. Each neuron is calibrated to a black hole. There is a toad in Greenwich that calibrates time for all shortwave. This toad is connected to the universal frequencies, the notes of F and A. F and A are the notes of power and dismissal, of rebellion and revenge. F and A, man. If you are listening on shortwave radio, the notes for this podcast can be found at dfgtc.org/shownotes. That is deltafoxtrotgolftango.org/shownotes. And you can find the show notes for the show if you look up the right date for the broadcast. If you don't pick the right date, you won't get the right notes. If you're interested in more of my podcasts, you can go to iamsully.com or you can go to dfgtc.org/mp3 and all my raw mp3 files are there. All the shows. If you want to email me about some funny anecdote, a fishing trip you went on, a hunting trip that went awry, that one time Bigfoot abducted you and your friends and put things in places that feel bad, places you don't like talking about, places that are private. Damn you, Bigfoot. if you want to complain to me or tell me about what happened to you in the woods or in the swamps, if you want to talk about your fishing trip in Alaska or something else terrible, you can email me, that's me@iamsully.com. And if you want to donate to this podcast broadcast because you've taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, you've already helped the people you love, you've donated to your church, you've given a few bucks to your kids, you've purchased about 6 months of food, you have water purification. If all these things are true and you still have a few bucks left over, buddy, you can donate to me if you want to. Any amount is welcome, including zero. You can donate to me by going to paypal.com. That's paypal.com/paypalme/Dr. Freckles. First topic, modified mosquitoes. Modified mosquitoes to be released in Florida. We're going to put this under, there's no way anything bad will happen. I'm going to read an article. It comes from the New York Post. The headline is, thousands of genetically modified mosquitoes being released in Florida. The article was written by Tamar Lepin. Fine. The article's published on April the 27th, 2021. And I read on, friends. Thousands of genetically modified mosquitoes have begun to be released in Florida this week as part of an effort to combat a disease-spreading species of the insect. The Buzzy Project from British biotech company Oxitec aims to curb the population of Aedes aegyptian mosquitoes, which can spread diseases such as Zika and dengue fever, the Miami Herald reported. The project aims to have genetically modified male mosquitoes mate with non-modified females, which are the ones that bite. A so-called death mechanism would then act to prevent any resulting female offspring from surviving. And I quote, "The female offspring of these encounters cannot survive, and the population of Aedes aegypti is subsequently controlled," Oxitec said in a statement. The modified pests will be placed in 6 locations in the Florida Keys, with some 12,000 expected to emerge each week for the next 12 weeks. Great news. The project was approved by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Well, that's even better news. The Sunshine State and the local Mosquito Control Districts Board all approved, according to the Herald. That's even better, greater, more wonderful news. For Florida, right? But some locals oppose the idea. Key Largo resident Mara Daly, who has been protesting the project for years, fears that it could harm people and the environment. Why do they not perform a simple test to satisfy locals who are forced to be part of this project trial? Daly asked. And that's the whole article, which is funny. They leave it with one little fragment of opposition. But most of the article is about the science and the technology and the fantasticitude of it all. Amazing. What could possibly go wrong? What can go wrong when genetically modified organisms are introduced into a complex and changing ecosystem? what could possibly go wrong? What can go wrong? What can possibly go wrong with introducing, you know, genetically modified things into a complicated ecosystem? Nothing can go wrong, right? Folks, I don't want to spend too much time on this because I'm not even sure if this is even true. I'm just going to tell you right now, when it comes to these kinds of stories, one of the first questions you need to ask these days, and I know this sounds terrible because, Dan, we don't live in the Soviet Union. No, you don't. You live in a better, shinier version of the Soviet Union. That's what you live in. You live in a neo-Stalinist, centrally planned, by-the-numbers paradise. Is it the Soviet Union per se? Heck no. It's way better. But that doesn't mean it's going to work. So the first question you need to ask yourselves in the Soviet Union is the story even true? It doesn't matter if it's a terrible thing to do. I think it's quite terrible, given that supposedly we're in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. Please, brothers and sisters, meditate on what I'm saying here. Because in a normal world that has a lot of adults running things, which would really be a free world, in a free, normal world of adults, nobody would say, now is a good time for releasing genetically modified crap into the ecosystem because we're in the middle of a pandemic. No one would say that. No one would rationally say that. In fact, I would like to go a step further. If the pandemic is shutting down Christian churches, then just as a Christian, I would say, why don't you hold off on the weird mosquitoes until you can let people go back to church like normal people? If that's not possible, then I say hold off on weird mosquito experiment. But like I said, my friends, is this story even true? Is the story even true? But if it is true, like I said, brothers and sisters, why don't we hold off on weird, freaky Frankenstein experiments until after the so-called pandemic is over? Now, me personally, I think the pandemic is about as real as Bigfoot, Loch Ness, and your Uncle Eddie getting drunk on the hunting trip, being abducted by aliens and having a lead pipe shoved up his butt. All of it's equally real, which means it's not. It's made up crap, okay? In fact, in the entire sordid tale, Uncle Eddie is probably the only honest figure, to the extent that Uncle Eddie reported the hallucinations of a drunk. But if it's real, right? If the COVID is real, then like I said, let's put a moratorium on weird mosquito experiments until people can go to church like actual Christians. How about that? Is that a fair deal, brothers and sisters? Next topic. Next topic. Anyways, I've been looking at different strategies for dealing with the issue of food because I am a human being just like you, which means I'm an animal just like you. And just like you, I am of the mind to not want to, die of hunger. And, we're not, I don't really know what's going on. I know we're being lied to. I'm not really certain about the near future, but I have an instinct that whatever does happen, some kind of famine is in the cards because I think that neo-Stalinist hellholes like this one, centrally planned central bank, neo-Stalinist hellholes really don't do a very good job of managing supply and demand. They really don't. They do a little better than the old-fashioned Stalinist five-year plan hellholes, but not that much better. And when the rubber meets the road and stress is in the system, you find out how centrally planned it really is. So I'm kind of the opinion that either rapid food inflation or simply famine is in the cards. And if it is, it makes sense to think about things like, for example, food. In fact, food and water. Because, if famine is in the cards, then probably clean, reliable water is probably also going to be a question mark at some point. A lot of things won't be reliable. So in recent years, I've been researching water purification and topics involving food, although it's not the main focus of the podcast. I'm going to read an article headline. And again, before I read this article, if you're listening on shortwave radio, all the notes for this podcast broadcast can be found at dfgtc.org/show notes, Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie.org/show notes. Pick the right date, okay? Whatever day you're listening on the radio is the day for the show notes. Don't pick the wrong day. You'll have a bad day. And all of these articles I read, the links are in the show notes. So this article, it comes from Forbes.com, and it's written by Laura James. And the date of the article is July the 16th, 2019, so it's a bit dated. Headline, Spirulina. Spirulina. Spirulina is a viable source of protein and can grow anywhere, even Brooklyn. I'm sure Brooklyn Dad is happy about that at MM Padellan. Sure, he's happy. And I read on. Dried spirulina can readily be found in health food stores and pharmacies nationwide, most commonly in dried powder or pill form. It is gaining popularity as health-conscious consumers discover it to have a high content of protein, up to 70%, while also containing essential vitamins and minerals such as B12 and provitamin A. And iron. However, consumers deal with a notoriously fishy flavor when eating spirulina. We Are the New Farmers, a company that is growing fresh spirulina in Brooklyn, New York, says that their customers do not have to deal with the stink. And I quote, "When it's fresh, it is extremely mild. It's the drying process that gives it that fishy flavor," shared co-founder Daniel Bernstein. When spirulina is dried out, it develops a kind of funky mold that gives it that smell and taste. By keeping spirulina fresh, We Are the New Farmers avoids that entirely. The Urban Farm was established in May 2018 by its core farmers Jonas Günther and Daniel Bernstein and Michael Udovich, with the goal of creating the world's first carbon-neutral protein source. The project began in the Tandon School of Engineering at NYU in the fall of 2016. Now their fresh spirulina paste is an available product that customers can add to any sauce, smoothie, or even cocktail. Saxon and Parole, a New York City restaurant with the Impossible Burger and beefsteaks on their menu, incorporates We Are the New Farmer spirulina into their Queen Park Swizzle cocktail. It tastes like spinach, says the bartender Mika Dostas about the paste. He shared the spirulina provides mostly just the color of the vibrant green cocktail. The drink is dominated by mint, rum, chartreuse, but the spirulina is a key ingredient. As Dosta explains, people love this kind of stuff. The appeal and irony of reaching your suggested daily intake of protein and vitamins while drinking alcohol is clear. Well, it is. Spirulina and other microalgae such as chlorella are an efficient means of protein consumption compared to chicken, which is roughly 33% protein. Spirulina has twice the protein content. It's great protein replacement option, said Bernstein. The main obstacle in making the replacement feasible is cost. According to him, $2 to $3 of their product will get you 4 to 5 grams of protein. So it's basically a nice addition, but you're not replacing 25 grams of protein that you could get from a piece of chicken, Bernstein added. However, Bernstein remains confident that spirulina can become a more competitive protein option. Currently, We Are the New Farmers is in its pilot farm facility where they are working with less than 1,500 square feet. As they scale up and automate some of their processes that are currently manual, they can then lower their prices. I'm going to let you guys research the topic of spirulina, blue-green algae, and chlorella, and other topics on your own. I'm going to leave you guys to read the rest of this article. I got to say, I don't know what to say about it. That's up to you. There's not much of it left. So what do you think about eating algae? Well, I will say this. I think I'd prefer to eat algae than to eat bugs or maggots. I think the maggots that have been eating the garbage, theoretically, you can feed those to the chickens. But I really don't want to eat a maggot burger. You know, I just don't. And I'm of the opinion, personally, when it comes to the vegan thing, I don't want you to take vegetables and make them like meat. You're never going to succeed. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care how gross you get. You might find some type of slime mold that tastes like a cheeseburger. I do not care. You will not produce a vegetable thing that will taste like meat, ever. It won't happen. And even if you do, I'm not going to have any of it. I would much rather just buy the spirulina and know what the heck I'm eating. You see, this is one of the things I don't get about the people on the quote-unquote sustainable side of things, which isn't really that sustainable. But they promote this kind of mystery in a box BS, and it really is a Bill Gates thing too. Bill Gates recently said, you don't need to know what's in the vaccines. Well, actually, Bill, we do. If as a matter of public policy, you're going to poison people, we have every right to know what's in the poison. We have every right to know what's in the operating system bill. But folks like Bill Gates just want to feed you poison burgers and give you poison sandwiches and give your kids a poison shot and then go on CNN or Fox News or some other channel and tell people it's intellectual property and you don't get to know about the poison. The reason why I'm not interested in your Impossible Burger or your maggot sandwiches is because I don't really think you're telling the truth, Bill, and other people like you. You're not telling the truth. That's why you hide behind lawyers. That's why you hide behind your own BS. You're not telling the truth. So you bury it deeper in lies. Dear Bill, you can have the maggot burger, but yes, I'm intrigued by spirulina. I'm intrigued by it because I do think from, researching other subjects related to things like algae, I do think there is an opportunity for urban farmers with respect to spirulina to sort of round out a diet in an emergency. And when I say an emergency, I mean a famine. If we actually faced a famine where there wasn't enough to go around, then I think that something like this, plus growing potatoes, for example, I think potatoes are also a relatively easy food to grow. If you can grow potatoes and spirulina and have a little herb garden, chances are you can stay alive. It may not be the tastiest, best diet ever, but if it gets you through a famine in a city, if growing blue-green algae in your bathtub and potatoes in your kitchen gets you through a famine in a city, then you should probably try it. But it might become illegal, brothers and sisters, because we don't really know yet what's going on. We don't really know. Next topic. Next topic. So I have been thinking about what I would do if I truly thought the PSYOP ended, the COVID ended, and the race war ended, and the world settled on something remotely like kind of normal. I don't think any of that's going to happen. I'm sorry. It is true. Some parts of the world are kind of in a slowdown mode with the heavy duty, you know, psychological warfare operations. But there's a reason for that. I think the people running the PSYOPs don't control the schedule. They don't control the schedule. If they controlled the schedule, I'm not even sure we would have had the PSYOPs. I think what would have happened is that one day in October of 2019, we would have all woken up and it would have been over. Whatever was going to be over would have been over. Whatever is going to happen would have happened. If they actually controlled the schedule, these psychological warfare operations wouldn't be getting so stupid. And they really are stupid. I know wearing the mask has lowered IQ significantly, but the PSYOPs are getting dumber and dumber. The weird kind of fear porn coming out of the White House and all the weird executive orders are getting dumber and dumber. So I don't actually think the PSYOP is ending. I think that certain parts of the United States are kind of in a lower tempo right now. But again, they don't control the schedule. So if we all get burned out too soon, if we all begin to reject the psychological warfare operations too soon, because all this is inevitable, it was beginning to happen a year ago before the race war. You remember the race war just showed up around Easter in 2020, just after Easter, kind of? And then, of course, there was George Floyd, and it was all over. The race war. And so just about the time people started rejecting the monkey herpes, the race war showed up. And that's happening again, guys, in the United States. And while the race war heats up in the U.S., the monkey herpes is ravaging India. So I don't know if this is ending. I don't think it is. I think that we are in a kind of weird pause in some places, and some people are saying to themselves in Florida, although given that article about the mosquitoes, I say Florida, you wait up on whether the PSYOPs are over. I would wait up on that one. But some parts of the country, and maybe even some parts of the world generally, are looking around today and saying, it looks like it's all over, Dan. except for India, of course, because they're telling us in India right now, millions are dying. Why? Because Dan in Utah won't get vaccinated. That's the logic of the future. The logic. I don't really know. I mean, I joke about it. I feel like if this did end, and there were people that sort of went back to normal pretending it didn't happen, especially the lockdown people, the mask-wearing people, the people that pushed the PSYOP that killed people. Recently, I got a comment about how, well, Dan, the COVID didn't do it. You know what? I don't think the COVID's real. I think the COVID is as real as Bigfoot. But here is a significant difference. Fear of Bigfoot, concerns about Bigfoot, weird theories in relation to Bigfoot don't generally lead to diabetes, heart disease, suicides, overdoses, I can go on, or almost all the small businesses in the country being shut down and destroyed. Bigfoot never did that. Neither did the Loch Ness Monster. So COVID is about as real as those things, but those things don't harm people. So if there's a bozo out there who still wants to tell me how kind of real he thinks the COVID was, I'm telling you, you're kind of full of shit. If that's how kind of real it was, you're kind of full of shit, okay? It's not real. It never was real. They took a normal cold season and they convinced you it was a pandemic, and then they let human psychology do the rest of the work. That's what happened. So if the PSYOP ever ended, I thought, you know, maybe I should form my own troupe, my own improvisational troupe. I will do an LLC for Dr. Freckles Global Tontine Club. I will form cells of Enforcer Squad Zeta. If you haven't read the contract, you should. dfgtc.org, dfgtc.pdf. Read the contract. But yeah, I thought maybe I'll just make it a real thing and I will mess with them. If I was a billionaire, I would stash my money in 1,000 different places around the world. I'd live like a hobo. I already know how. And I would form random groups and mess with them. I would take the rules of psychological warfare and use it against them. And if them includes one of the bozos, low-level dingits, useful idiots who went around spouting COVID nonsense, welcome. Because now it's party time. If I had the resources and this PSYOP ever ended, I would organize the largest non-violent psychological warfare operation against every MF, every Bo Blimp doc who was involved in this crap. But that's never going to happen. The PSYOP is not over. I know that you want to believe it is because somebody on some weird alt network told you it was and then said, buy Bitcoin. I am telling you, buying Bitcoin ain't going to help you, and the PSYOP isn't over. Next topic, though. Next topic, right? Next topic. So recently, and there's a link in my notes. If you don't know where my notes are, you can find all the show notes at dfgtc.org/show notes if you're listening on shortwave. But recently, the United States Air Force decided to change its doctrine. I'm going to read an article here. This article comes from flightglobal.com. Which is probably a deep state kind of, you know, propaganda aerospace vehicle, a lot like, you know, what Air and Space Leakly, Air and Space Weekly. Yeah, if you want to listen to what the deep state wants to tell you. But yeah, this comes from flightglobal.com, and this was written by Garrett Rehm. It was published on 23 April 2021, so just a few days ago. And the headline is, U.S. Air Force rewrites basic doctrine, emphasizing commander's intent. And I read on. As the U.S. Air Force potentially faces more complex and fast-paced battles in the future, where communications are likely to be disruptive, for example, by jamming, it is rewriting its basic doctrine to emphasize commander's intent. Well, that's great. In what it is calling the most sweeping change of Air Force basic doctrine in the service's history, the U.S. Air Force issued its Air Force Doctrine Publication -1 on 22 April. The document defines the concept of mission command as a return to the philosophy of mission accomplishment guided by the commander's intent, while operating in environments characterized by increasing uncertainty, complexity, and rapid change, says the U.S. Air Force. U.S. Air Force Chief of Staff General Charles Brown says he wants commanders to push decision-making to the lowest competent, capable level. Yeah, I don't think that level exists, Charlie. To drive commander's intent, we have to be very broad in our thinking, he says. We have to give airmen the leeway, without being very prescriptive, to lead and execute while still meeting intent. When airmen are empowered, they'll be able to make things happen that we didn't even think about. As threats of electronic warfare from advanced militaries such as China and Russia grow, the U.S. Air Force appears to be preparing for scenarios where top commanders are partially or totally cut off from pilots executing missions on the front lines. Operating in contested airspace may also require radio silence. The U.S. Air Force wants to maintain a centralized command, but in some situations also wants flexibility for distributed control of forces and decentralized execution. Oh, decentralized. Crypto people love that. Distributed control allows subordinate commanders to respond to changes. Okay, blah, blah, blah. If you go to dfgtc.org/shownotes, you can read the rest of this article on your own. I'm going to summarize for you. Number one, okay, let's talk about some concepts really quick. In military science, at least since the 19th century, there have been these two concepts. They come from the Prussian army relating to a mission order or to an op order or an operations order, okay? A plan. One of the concepts is Befehl's tactic, and that's detailed orders. And that's where you tell somebody exactly what you want them to do, right down to the dotted line, every single thing they do. The Red Army at the beginning of World War II did detailed orders. It's one of the reasons why. You need to listen to what I'm saying, because this is the thing about detailed orders. Detail orders are, you don't do it if you weren't told to do it. It's one of the reasons why, on the first day of Barbarossa, the invasion of the Soviet Union in 1941, when the Nazis invaded the Soviet Union, it's one of the reasons why Russian troops didn't have ammo. In fact, they didn't even shoot at the Germans on the first day for the most part. They were calling to see if they could get into the ammo. They were asking for permission to use their weapons to fight German tanks. And since command and control had broken down, they just didn't know what to do. So that's a good example of Befehl's tactic, or detailed orders. And as you can see, if you can cut off command and control and you have a zombie army like the Soviets had, especially after the murder of all the officer corps in the Soviet Union in the late 30s, another topic for another day. If you have a zombie robot army and you cannot give them orders, they do nothing. That is Befehl's tactic, okay? Befehl's tactic. The other strategy with respect to mission orders or planning is Offrage tactic. An Offrage tactic is mission-based orders. And these are orders where you basically give people a mission, but they decide how to do it. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but let's just get to the point. The U.S. Air Force has been doing Offrage tactic for decades. So this article is a smokescreen. This article is not about going from detailed orders to mission orders. That is a lie. This article is about giving control of nuclear weapons down to essentially the tactical operational level, which means if you are a colonel or a major, you might have the authority to use a nuclear weapon in the near future. And this might also explain, we'll all lose our spleens from radiation poison. This might also explain why, in recent years, the U.S. military has been moving towards the adoption of micro-nukes, or these smaller nuclear weapons, these 5-kiloton devices. They've been replacing a lot of the devices on submarines and other parts of the nuclear arsenal with these smaller, lower-yield tactical nukes. Because folks, if you're going to give some colonel in the Army or the Marines or the Air Force the authority to use a nuke, you probably don't want to give them much more than 5 kilotons, brothers. That's the thing. If you're going to give some airmen, I mean, the term airmen in this article is a little bit weird too. It's almost like they're going to give nuclear authority to NCOs, and no offense to all the non-commissioned officers out there, but I don't want company grade officers with nukes, let alone sergeants, no offense, sergeants. So yeah, this article's not about going from mission orders, excuse me, from detailed orders to mission orders. This is a smokescreen. This article is about giving command authority over nuclear weapons to officers way below the general level. You know, way below the general staff level, officers with the authority to use nukes. This is great news. It's great news. And it actually means things are about to get way more unstable. And it also means that they might decide to use some of these 5-kiloton micro nukes on you and I in America, brothers and sisters. Happy days are here again, right? Is the PSYOP over? Next topic. Breaking news. King Grube spouts nonsense as the castle guards vomit torpedo juice and scrag. Nord, the telltale whisperer to Queen Knees. Nord won't leave his cave. He came to the path, the fork in the road. He saw a red toad chasing an elk. He saw a red toad chasing an elk, and then the elk looked at Nord and cursed his sight, and the universe became blurry. The elk spoke of heroes, an age of heroes that live in the woodwork, brothers. Breaking news. This elk spoke of heroes that hide in the edges, in the cracks. This elk spoke of the other places where these heroes hide. They're the ones, they're right beside you, buddy. Hey, Bill. Who's driving your car, Bill? Oh, it's a computer. And who's the techie involved in that, Bill? Celt fiends. Seeking after old boneyard stories of the guy named Cliff. Breaking news. He had 16 inches of lead pipe. Cliff would hit you over the back of your head. He'd say, "Wanna see an M80? And then whack and slam, you hit the ground. And then you end up in some cheap hotel bathtub, covered in ice, a cut in your side, a sticky note on your forehead saying, "Call 911, you just had a kidney removed." Breaking news. Breaking news. The knife man. He can take anyone out. The knife man. He'll find you. Breaking news. Breaking news. As long as the knife man knows they are the knife man that day, the knife man works near the big guys, the swells, the fancy pants, McGee's. The knife man lives behind their cages, inside their walls, inside their lives, living large in their glass and ivory and crystal meth palaces. The knife man might walk your dog. The knife man might watch your kids. The knife man might be the guy, removing your appendix during surgery. The knife man feels no remorse. Breaking news. Hornets are chasing these fools. Wayward generations of drug dealers and street tweakers and alienated witch wardens looking for the grease, but finding nothing but bloodworms and hooker cards. The Lent razor's rusty, so you give it to the knife man, and he tells you to shut up, man, and more. The knife man is joining forces. Breaking news. Breaking news. The knife man is joining forces with Florida man. What if Florida man and knife man joined forces? You'll see King Gordox sell condom rings by the stadium. That's what the Florida man said. And that would lead us to the gold vein in Fresno. Breaking news. The capital of Toad is on high alert. King Gordox will address the Praetorians and the petty limbic folk. And the rendered masses of Commie Vugan, who occupy the walls beyond the old pig farm, the gallant forces of Yorto intending to upset. So the king will deliver his speech, half covered in leeches, half revealed by green light. 8 different spaceships will hover above, outlining the points of his dread realm. All hooker forces on high alert. Hooker forces on high alert. Breaking news. The gray, cold, moist zone of Region 98 has more monkey herpes again. Please go buy some Gorilla Tape and socks and shove 12 socks down your throat. Then Gorilla Tape shuts your hole, the hole through which you breathe. Wait several minutes. Keep doing this until it works. The desert warriors are raping the helots again. Netboob says he needs a new minister to ingrugliate the Arabs. Breaking news. Doorman is releasing more devil bugs in Florida. These bugs will carry Scrivus and Limtobe and Dremulac 22. Florida man has been notified he and Knife Man are going to pay the doorman a visit. Breaking news. India is being destroyed by monkey herpes. All of India is being destroyed by monkey herpes and rabid tigers and giant bugbears bigger than a tree. All of India is being murdered because you won't get the weird vaccine that Bill Gates doesn't want to talk about. Breaking news. Breaking news. Indian people are stacking their dead like cordwood. Tlimbic ministers of the last VD ministry have told ordinary untouchables to carry water from the Ganges and to drink this water raw. This water contains the ancient proteins and minerals and nutrients and oils and greases that restore the body, restore the mind, restore the soul, and the heavy metals necessary to empower your cognition are in this water. Drink it. Breaking news. Defeat the monkey herpes with the Ganges water. Breaking news. Breaking news. Tony Blair has a mullet. Breaking news. Britney Spears is on the run. Breaking news. Britney Spears is running. She's been in a cage too long, living like an animal, treated like a fungo freak who just arrived from Spain. Breaking news. Breaking news. Britney Spears is on the run. She has cash and cocaine and a large muscular boyfriend, bodyguard, slash model. That's right. A muscular boyfriend, bodyguard, slash model is protecting her, loving her, rubbing oils on her body. Yes, a large boyfriend named Cephas, who never wears a shirt. Cephas is protecting Brittany, and they're on the run. Cephas rubs CBD-based lubricants all over her body every night to help her out. They make love in a tent. They make love in the desert. Britney Spears is on the run. Breaking news. Breaking news, breaking news, breaking news. The people of Idaho are going to kill all the wolves. The people of Idaho have recently voted to destroy every wolf in Idaho and replace them with GMO Frenchies. This is breaking news. Breaking news. The people of Idaho have decided that the wolf threatens them, that the wolf represents their shadow selves. The wolf itself is a symbol, a walking rebuke. The people of Idaho, they look into the wolf's eyes. They see their own failure. They see their own cowardice and fear, so they must destroy the wolf. They must kill it using laser beam eyes. Breaking news. Breaking news, this has been a report of the Planetary Status Report. If you are listening on shortwave radio, then you're listening to WRMI out of Miami Okeechobee, the Okeechobee swamp from which a giant hairless French bulldog will arise probably in the next 6 months. WRMI will be there to record it live. It'll be remembered like that dude who observed the Hindenburg catching fire. Oh, the humanity. Oh, the humanity. 5950 kilohertz WRMI. And if you're listening to me, your friend Dan, you can hear me on shortwave Saturday, Sunday nights right now, but you can also go to imsully.com or dfgtc.org/mp3. All the shows are there, raw and complete for your special consumption. And I would say to you on Wednesday, April the 28th, 2021, BoBlimp.com, go forth and be peaceful with your neighbors. Go forth and be a creature of the day. Live according to the sustenance regulations and have a good one.